The following radio broadcast was originally recorded on September 11th, 1979, with music added in 2023.
Well, greetings, radio friends. This is Casey Walker inviting you to Bible study time again. In just a few moments, I would like to invite you to join me as we study a portion of God's Word entitled, The Signs of Our Time. Now our subject that's entitled today, The Signs of Our Times. In Matthew, we find chapter 16, beginning with the first verse, these words. The Pharisees also were the Sadducees, and tempting desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said unto them, When it is evening, ye say, it'll be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but can ye not discern the signs of our times? Yes, I feel that we're living in momentous times. God's Word is the source of knowing the meaning of present world conditions. In Isaiah chapter 46, verse 9 and 10, the prophet declares, the Almighty speaking through him, that God declares the end from the beginning. Oh, yes, you see in bold headlines, predictions for the next 6 months, for the next year by the psychics. But, dear ones, the truth about the future and your welfare can only be found in the pages of God's eternal word. They declare the end from the beginning. And the Bible plainly says that everyone will not understand the meaning. I suppose one reason is that people do not acquaint themselves with the Word of God. There is a coldness really toward God's Word. We find the Bible speaks of people, some of light and some of darkness. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, those of light will understand. Those of darkness will not understand. Daniel 12 and 10 tells us, The wicked shall do wickedly. None of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. So do you really understand the meaning of present world conditions? We're living in one world divided. And as never before, nations are dependent upon nations and the natural resources. Especially is that true, of course, in the means of providing energy. We find in Daniel 12 and verse 4 that he says that many will run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Now, he mentions this as in the last days. When we look at a few statistical records of people traveling, we can today understand why, especially in this country, that there's such a shortage of the source of energy, oil. Back in 1951, in the U.S. alone, there were 52 million cars, trucks, and buses traveling the highways. These vehicles consumed 38,300,000,000 gallons of gasoline and diesel oil. Figuring 10 miles to the gallon for all fuel burned, there would be a total of 383 billion miles traveled. This does not include traveling that was done by airplane, train, and other means of travel. Does it not seem that this prophecy about running to and fro is being fulfilled right before our very eyes? I was reading in the paper just a few days ago that our leaders back in the 50s decided that we had oil to supply the whole world indefinitely. I wonder what they're thinking about it today. We can recognize that the fuel situation in this country is very serious. And of course, it affects the entire economic system of our country. And we're so tied in with the economic system of the great industrial powers of other nations until it is affecting the economic status of the whole world. Did you know that the Bible foretold that eventually there would be a crash and a collapse of the entire economic system of the world? The Bible predicted the downfall and economic system of Israel, the time of Christ, and also the downfall of the economic system and the government of pagan Rome. All of these things happen as God himself had told they would. Let me just read a few scriptures here that describes the result of the downfall of the economic system. And if there's one thing that would bring its downfall, it would be a collapse of the source of energy to propel it as we know it today. In the 18th chapter of the book of Revelation, beginning with the 11th verse, in this mighty judgment that comes, we find these words: "And the merchant of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise anymore." It says it's the merchandise of gold, of silver, precious stones, of pearls, fine linen, purple and silk, scarlet, and all manner of vessels of ivory, and all manner of vessels of precious wood and of brass, iron and marble, cinnamon, odors, ointments, frankincense, wine and oil, fine flour, wheat, beasts, sheep, horses, chariots, slaves, and souls of men. And he says, "And the fruits that thy soul lusted after are departed from thee, and all things which were dainty and goodly are departed from thee, and thou shalt find them no more at all. And the merchants of these things, which were made rich by her, shall stand afar off for the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing, and saying, Alas, alas! That great city was clothed in fine linen, purple and scarlet, decked with gold and precious stone and pearls. And one hour so great riches come to naught." Now, this is just a partial picture that we could give you there in the reading of the Bible. But it does picture to us a collapse of the economic system of the world. Of course, no doubt this was speaking of the downfall of pagan Rome and of the economic system of Israel, immediately following the time that Jesus was here the first time. But those things simply are typical of what eventually is to happen to the whole world. And as we can see the lifestyle of people everywhere now being threatened, we can readily see the possibility of this judgment developing very rapidly. And what can you say will happen in the final result? Well, anarchy, violence, you have not seen the like yet. The Bible tells us and warns us, the Apostle Paul doing the writing, he says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come." The word perilous means dangerous times. He tells us the reason why. "For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, with a natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God." He said, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. My, when you go through that list of sins, you will find that they are being committed wholesale now by the masses of our people. They are unconcerned about the truth, only concerned about their own carnal, selfish, lustful nature to satisfy their lust and their carnal desires. That basically is the seeds that feed inflation and that feed the troubles that can eventually topple a nation or bring destruction to systems that otherwise could be a blessing to those that represent them. So human nature is the big problem. And because man, apparently, giving himself over to this lustful nature of his, disregarding any sacrificial attitude whatsoever, is hastening the time of the downfall of the economic system, of this country, and of the world. Well, of course, that doesn't picture a very bright future, does it? But you can rest assured that the future is just as bright as God's promises. But unless your life is in tune with God's promises, your future indeed is very dark. And so the truth is, most people's future is dark. Because very few people, I feel today, are really dedicated to know and do the divine will of God. All of these things are signs of our times. Signs that we're nearing the end of the age, which means the end of the present world order, which really is disorder, because we're going to have to destroy this order of disorder in order that we might have an eternal state of God's divine order. And, of course, that is what is eventually to be in the making. One of the great outstanding signs of our times, no doubt, is the great preparation for war and the weapons that today in the hands of sinful man is capable of pretty well annihilating and eradicating life from the face of the earth on which we live. Men are trying feverishly, of course, to keep that from happening. But we find men do not trust men, and rightfully so, because man cannot be trusted. We find the Bible warns against trusting man. It said, "Cursed is man that trusteth in man." David said, "Put not your trust in princes, neither in the sons of men, in whom there is no help." He says, "His breath goeth forth, he returns to his earth, and that very day his thoughts perish." So do not trust in a man. But you should trust in something. You have to. You should trust in God. But how can you trust in God if you do not know him? It's a shame and a disgrace how that people are neglecting to acquaint themselves with God and study prayerfully his holy word to know the will of the eternal, because his laws are eternal and indestructible, and violation of them, we are told, is sin, and the wages of sin is death. So the great state of unrest and uncertainty the world is now in is a result of man's rebellion against the will of God. Outstanding signs of our time, as it was in the days of Noah, Jesus said, it'll be the same condition spiritually when Jesus returns to earth again. Now, in closing, may I invite you to write to me? I'd like to hear from you, because the amount of correspondence I hear now and hearing from you in the next 4 or 5 weeks will determine as to how long I continue this program on this wonderful station. I'd like to continue, but I would like to know your interest. Write to me, please. Until next time, God bless you is my prayer.
Thank you for spending some time with us today. And we certainly thank the wonderful Heavenly Father for all that He's done for us, especially salvation through His Son, Jesus Christ. More information can be found on WCOG7.com.